Right, you're listening to the Burst Boss Scottish Football Podcast, back for a new episode, and guys, we're back for a new year. 2021 is upon us. I'm Hamish. Hello, Craig.
Happy New Year, Hamish. Almost couldn't get that out there. Happy New Year, Hamish. I hadn't even, I'd forgotten that it was a new year and all that, given the current circumstances, everything feeling a bit different. But I'm well and looking forward to speaking to you boys.
Matt, how are you doing?
Yes, not too bad. Happy New Year to you boys. First time been on in a couple of weeks, really. So good to get going. At least there's some football to talk about, despite the uncertainty around the country just now. It's still good that we're able to chat about this.
I'm just laughing. We're letting the listeners in on a little secret, a behind the curtain, if you will. I think that's what they say at Burstball Towers, where we record this. We're actually using some new software. And I don't know if you've noticed, Craig, but there's actually a delay whenever I speak and bring Matt in. There's not a delay when you come in, but whenever Matt comes in, there's a huge delay. He really isn't doing much for the old stereotypes of the rabbit on the wheel or whatever up north.
Away up north.
There it goes, getting slagged already.
Right, lads, I want to ask you genuinely, and I usually ask this every single podcast, just it's one of the things you say, but I genuinely want to ask, how are yous doing? Because, you know, this is a football podcast, but it's tough times to be a human on this world at the moment, especially in countries like Scotland. You know, listening to all the daily government updates, which seem to have resumed now in the news, and hearing, you know, the likes of Nicola Sturgeon and Chris Whitty on today saying that basically we're back where we were at those horrible days in March. So, Craig, how are you genuinely, and how are you finding dealing with the prospect of, you know, another lockdown?
Okay, to be honest, I'm doing all right. Working from home, have been since last March. It's looking like at the very least I'll be getting to the 1 year anniversary of working from home. It's a bit scunnering, isn't it? To say the least. I know, obviously, towards the tail end of the year there was all the talk of the vaccines, and it was almost kind of, I wouldn't want to stretch and say, well, it was a positive. It was a lot lighter note anyway than a lot of what we've been getting in the news. And then you're almost, yeah, as you say, we're kind of back to where we were this time. In March. Anyway, not too far off this time last year. So, yeah, it's a bit brutal. I suppose from a footballing aspect, the kind of one positive or shining light, if you could call it that, is that we're still going to have the football being played at the weekends. They
should null and void it, I think.
Oh, right. I was wondering if that's what you were going to say there. But a bit of a distraction, I think, because there's literally not much else at all to distract us from what has been pretty depressing times, to say the least. But I'm doing all right, just cracking on with it, Hamish, and that's all we can do, I suppose.
Yeah, just like what Craig said there, I think, you know, when we were kind of watching the news yesterday, it was just pretty deflating hearing the kind of news that we're kind of almost back to square one, despite all the kind of positivity of potential vaccines and potential getting kind of lifted out of tears and that the last few weeks. I mean, it's pretty brutal just now, especially for, you know, January is always a shite month, but it's pretty tough just now. And for my own benefits, you know, like, I mean, I don't stay with my girlfriend, so I'm not able to, you know, properly kind of see her in that way again, because I mean it's a long distance relationship anyway, so it's quite tough. And just being able to see my pals as well, like, you know, it's like back to the Zoom quizzes and that, which to be fair we've managed to do quite a lot of over the last kind of 9 months or something, so it's been fine. But we're here again, unfortunately. But as Craig said, it's good to have the football on, and to be honest, I've been able to take in as much sport in the last 2 weeks, whether it's the football, whether it's the darts, and it's been good for just a good keeping morale high in pretty tough times.
Yeah, I think you've both touched on the one positive from all our point of views and so many of our listeners. The big difference between now and March is that the live sport's going to continue, and it seems like it's going to stay that way. I think it's just too important to people's mental health. And on that subject, you know, if there's any listeners out there struggling, I've done something that we've not actually done for a while, just while Matt was talking there, and I've opened up the Busboy account. Even if you don't follow us or we don't follow you back, you can message or whatever. If you're feeling low at all, get in touch, because it's a tough period. The one thing I would say is that I think looking forward, I do genuinely see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the vaccine's getting rolled out, and Lewis Kemp, to name him, I don't know if he still listens to this podcast, but he's famously put into words the prediction that Wembley will be full for the Euros in the summer. So if that's not something, some sort of false hope to cling on to, then I don't know what is. So that's us. Right, let's say from news of a global pandemic, let's move on to an even more toxic news story from my point of view anyway, which was the derby, the second derby. We don't call it that OF crap. We just call it the Glasgow derby, or just the game between Rangers and Celtic. But it did finish 1-0 to Rangers. Matt, we'll get you in first, because you're neutral, in quotation marks. Is the league over for you after that?
Oh, yeah. I think, truthfully, it was over before a ball was kicked on Saturday. I just think that Rangers just don't look like they're dropping goals, let alone points. You know, like they're finding new ways each time to win. You know, they might not necessarily blow away teams, and I didn't expect them to blow away Celtic on Saturday. But you know, you talk about the 90 minutes as a whole, and Celtic were the superior team in the first half. There's no doubt, and you know, they came out the traps well, they set up well. Rangers barely got a sniff, but yeah, it's I just can't. You can't see that. That was Rangers' most difficult game out of the road, really. And you look at gate places where they'll need to go. They do need to go to Pittodrie, which, you know, albeit they don't have a great record there. Like, Aberdeen aren't exactly firing on all cylinders just now, and they're finding new ways to win each week. And I just can't see them dropping many points, to be honest, until the next Old Firm game.
Yeah, they're 19 points clear. Celtic do obviously have those three games in hand, but something that I've not seen anyone really commenting other than my good self is that the actual games in hand Celtic have, one of them is at home to Aberdeen. Fair enough, it's in Glasgow, but that's never a gimme. You know, Aberdeen are the third best team in the country, I would argue. They certainly have been for the last few years. That's not a gimme. And the other game in hand, well, one of the other games in hand, is away to Livingston. Now, Livingston away, I don't think Celtic have won at Livingston for, you know, over a decade. Certainly the three times we've been since Livy came back up, we've drawn twice and lost once. Now that's Livy on that plastic pitch at the best of times. This is Livy that we're going to come on to later in this show that have won their last seven games in a row. And, you know, I don't think genuinely, if you're looking at that game, you have Celtic as favourites for that. And that's me being totally honest. That's one of the games in hand. And when you look at the fact that, as you say, Matt, Rangers have dropped 4 points out of 66 so far this season. Celtic need them to drop at least 11, given the goal difference. I know the gap's 10, but Celtic probably need them to drop 11 points. Celtic need to win the last two derbies of the season. And even if Rangers dropped 11 points and Celtic won the last two derbies, Celtic would have to win, I think, every other game to go in the rest of the season, all 19 of them. And Celtic have taken 43 points out of 57 in the first half of the season, to consider us doing 57 out of 57 in the second half is just ludicrous. So as much as people might cling on to that kind of stuff, Craig, and as much as you, I know, are going to play this right down right now, it's over, isn't it?
Nah, I'll not be saying there's plenty of football still to be played, and I know that's just me rolling out the cliches around this sort of chat, but there is still plenty of games to go yet. Don't get me wrong, I am very happy at the position that we're in at the minute. And I guess just on the game at the weekend there, I guess echo what Matt said. Celtic were the better team in the first half. Absolutely no doubt about it. We've got Alan McGregor to thank for really keeping us in the game, because I don't know how we would have reacted to going behind, just given how high up the park Celtic were pressing us. We couldn't string any sort of passing manoeuvres together. Our creative players weren't in the game at all. And yeah, and it looked for all the world like Celtic, if they got themselves in front, we're going to go on and win the game. But they didn't get themselves in front. Obviously, McGregor makes a world-class save from Griffiths. Another good one from Edward as well. And I did think, watching the game, that if we can get to half-time here and it's still 0-0, we can reset. And I thought in the second half, even before, obviously, the red card, the game had... Maybe sort of levelled out a little bit. Rangers had come into it. I know all we really had to talk about in terms of in front of goal was Hadji. He had a shot that went wide. But even that, and just changing the kind of momentum and the sort of pattern of the game up until that point, I did feel like Rangers were coming back into it. And then obviously the sending off, which I think it is a red card. And Rangers go on to win it. I'm not going to sit here and declare as champions.
Why not?
It would take a monumental collapse. I'll go. This is as far as I'll go on record from any podcast that we've done this season. It would take a monumental collapse, even by some of our own standards in the last couple of years, how bad we've been after in January and on going on from there. It would take a monumental collapse for us to not get our hands on the title from here. I think the most pleasing thing for me, again, echoing a little bit what Matt said, is that we haven't played that, like, in terms of our best football of the season. It's certainly probably been before those games in December, but aside from one terribly bad off night in Paisley in the League Cup against St Mirren, we've still just been churning out wins. And I think that's been the big difference from seasons past anyway under Gerrard, is that especially when Rangers go away from home, I always felt like we had to be a kind of overall 8, maybe 7 against certain teams out of 10. Otherwise, we were going to drop points. And we often did do that. And I think the game we played against St Mirren in the league a couple, obviously not long after getting beat off them there, we didn't play great at all, but it was just such a routine 2-0, job done, 3 points. And I think now we just had to navigate our way through the busy period when you had the European games throughout December as well. And now we'll kind of go on a wee bit of a run of fixtures where you've got a good, decent week in between where you can get a bit of rest, prepare for the fixture. And we've got tough games, obviously, Pittodrie coming up on Sunday, go to Easter Road as well. Motherwell, I know, for as much as they've been terrible this season, it will still be a tough game. But yeah, I'm confident in the position that we're in. And as I say, I will not be making any wilder a statement other than it will take a huge collapse from here if we aren't to go on and win our 55th league title.
Nah, it's over. It's completely over. There's not a chance. Not a chance that we are coming back from that, but I'm sure it's something we'll revisit. God, the second half of the season is going to be fun, lads. What are we going to chat about?
Anything but the Old Firm.
Maybe we should make our tagline from now on. We are obviously going to chat a bit about Livingston and Motherwell later on. Continuing this theme we've got in the show now of picking out certain major talking points, I say major, certain talking points in the Scottish game and really homing in on them. Podcasts, I think, in 2021 are going to be a little bit shorter. We're maybe going to aim for nearer the half-hour mark for most of them, although what we can promise you is that ability, coupled with this new platform that we're using, should mean that we'll be able to bring you more podcasts in terms of their frequency. We may be able to do the odd weekend preview now and then. Right. Let's get to it. The probably one of the main reasons people are even listening to this podcast, what the hell are Celtic doing in Dubai as Scotland enters a second lockdown? Who sanctioned it? Well, who at Celtic sanctioned it? Why did the Scottish government go for it, or the SFA or whoever it was? Why has it been allowed to happen? And why the hell are Celtic not on a flight back to Scotland right now? I did a video on this for my work, 67 Hail Hail on YouTube. Check it out. And yeah, I just think there's so many reasons why this is such a bad idea. Going to Dubai in the first place for Celtic, I don't think is great. You know, Dubai has a terrible history with human rights, and if you believe in all that kind of thing with regards to Celtic's squeaky clean image, then I don't think that's a good look at all. But going during a global pandemic and being seen pictured, Neil Lennon, Scott Brown, with pints by the pool, when Celtic fans can't see family, can't go to the pub, can't even get into any games so far this season, is not a good look at all. And when you add in the extra factor that the team is 19 points behind in the league, we're out of the Champions League, we're out of the Europa League after finishing bottom of our group. We nearly conceded more goals in the Europa League group stage than anyone else in Europa League history. I think we were two or three goals off that. And also the fact we're out of the Betfred Cup to Ross County. The start of the season has been an unmitigated disaster. You probably couldn't have made it go any worse if you tried. Maybe you would have had us losing the cup final to Hearts. But other than that, it's been a disaster. Yet the players are afforded the chance to go to Dubai during a global pandemic and are pictured drinking pints and not really social distancing. There's so many aspects to this for why it is wrong. And it's just a complete shambles. Craig, I'm sure you'll take the opportunity when afforded it to rip into Celtic. So take it away, and this one occasion I'll allow it.
See, to be honest, Hamish, I'm sitting listening to you there and I'm nodding away in agreement. I just think even taking away the kind of me as a Rangers fan aspect of it, it just absolutely defies belief. I mean, everything that you mentioned there is exactly the sort of things that I was going to as well. The aspect of the Celtic fans who, off the back of the second derby defeat of the season and going 19 behind in the league, have kind of been subjected to these photos getting leaked to the players almost away on a jolly. And don't get me wrong, like I don't know who it was, they had mentioned it, but I did see kind of quotes about all the players are human beings and along that sort of thing, is almost to kind of try and justify it. But I mean, like, I was listening to the radio last night and I heard the phrase kind of read the room, like, in terms of why Celtic shouldn't have been still going on this trip. And you just kind of put it any better than that. It's like, what is going on here? Why are they in Dubai right now? Like, it's even with the pandemic aspect of it, coupled with the fact of how bad the season is going from a Celtic point of view, it does defy belief. And another thing as well, Hamish, probably the only thing I would have added to what you said there, is another aspect of it that just makes it even more baffling. See, this midweek, regardless of what the result was in the derby at the weekend there, if Celtic lost the game, as they obviously have, you would have won. Surely you'd want to get one of these games, the three in hand that they've got on Rangers, in during the week, because then it's, I know I'm, but we're already talking about it would take a monumental collapse from Rangers and all that sort of thing, but surely you'd want to get a win on the board and just get the winning feeling back as quickly as you can after a derby defeat, get it in during the week. On the other flip side of that, if Celtic could beat Rangers at the weekend, then you would want to just keep the winning feeling going. And I just, honestly, it's just, I'm stuttering about here. I just honestly cannot believe what the situation is with them still over there and the fact that they were even going in the first place and thought it would be a good idea. It's, yeah, just totally, totally unbelievable.
Right, let's move on. Livingston, we've already mentioned them on this show. Probably, well, obviously Rangers, you would argue, are the form team in the country, but Livingston's form is just absolutely remarkable at the moment. Now, Busboy doesn't often claim responsibility for upturns in form, but what I will say is that since we had Callum from Talk Livy podcast onto Busboy, they have gone on a remarkable run. They've won 7 games in a row. They've won 5 of those have been in the Premiership. So they're 5 wins out of 5 in the Premiership. The last 4 of them have been, all of them have been away from home. To St Johnstone, 2-1. To Hamilton, 2-0. To Killy, 2-1. And then the pick of the bunch at the weekend, Hibs 0, Livingston 3. I watched the highlights from the game, and I don't know if you guys have seen them, but let's just say that 3-0 flattered the home side. That could have been 5 or 6-0 to Livingston. It was totally remarkable. Our good friends at Top Livy Podcast have been in touch as well, asking the question, is Scott Robinson better than Messi and Ronaldo combined? He was excellent at the weekend, but he's just one of the many players that's been excellent. You know, when you look around our team at the moment, players like Jason Holt, Scott Pittman, who I've always rated, they just seem to have, you know, so much threat going forward, and they're defending so well as well. My question to you, Matt, and hear me out here, has the race for third got a new member?
Well, I'm literally just checking the table now, see the points difference, because I did feel that that might come up. I mean, there's still 12 points between Livingston and Aberdeen, right? It's a long, and bear in mind that they've got the same, they've played the same amount of games. Livingston do have two games in hand over Hibs, though, which makes it interesting. Because, now, I can't really remember the technicalities of European places, right? But I have played Football Manager this season, and I know that third place in that was getting Europe, like one place, sorry, the playoff place in the Europa League, right? And I think fourth and fifth also get it, not in that, I think they go into that conference. So you're kind of looking at that and thinking, if it's that, Livingston have got a real shot at Europe this year, based off of the last
crazy
8 weeks. And I think I'm right. I think I'm saying that that they were, you know, fourth and fifth are European football, right? But I don't think they're going to catch Aberdeen, despite the fact Aberdeen's in different form. I hope that they continue the form, because I think that they're playing some unbelievable football. Just on, you know, their teams, you know, the players, maybe one player you didn't actually mention, I think, was Alan Forrest. I think he's got 10 for the season now. Like, I know that includes League Cup games and that, but I mean, that's a player, if you think of what Livingston have done in the last few years, right, they've taken players, there's been a couple of players that have gone right throughout, you know, from like the lower leagues with them. They've just kind of picked away, picked up some good players, good deals. I mean, Alan Forrest's a solid championship player at Ayr United. They bring him up to the Premiership, and he's just, you know, he's proving that can work. You know, you can get the best out of players from the leagues below.
Craig Sibbald's another one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you, I mean, I remember like in the early days of like university, and obviously Sibbald would have been at Falkirk with Connor, and Connor was always talking him up. And this kind of, you know, it's something that it's good to see, you know, they struggled obviously with Dykes leaving initially, and then they've got the likes of Robinson in there. It's just, it just kind of shows you that their model's working, and credit to them, you know, because losing someone like Gary Holt, you know, like he left with them really in the kind of shit, and they're just defying expectations this season, and it's good to see. It's really good to see.
Gary Holt suddenly looks, you know, like he looks a much better manager than he was before, and it comes because he was big enough to step away from the club when they were struggling, and they've gone in this brilliant run. They've given David Martindale the job, and you know, they've won 7 games in a row, and suddenly Gary Holt's decision, I thought at the time it was a noble decision, but it really looks like a good one now. That run of form they're on is incredible. I don't know if you guys saw, but they've signed Gavin Riley today as well, an 18-month deal. He's just left Carlisle, I think. And he's in the squad for the game against Ross County at home, I think, on Saturday. So you never want to count points, but you certainly would think that that's a very winnable game for them against Ross County. And then it could be 8 wins in a row. I think they then play Aberdeen in a midweek game in that battle for a Europa League spot that could be big. They then play Celtic back-to-back. And they then, Craig, play St Mirren at Hampden in less than 3 weeks. So people are almost forgetting that on top of all of this, they're also, you know, in the hunt for a trophy. And to be honest, the favourites for the trophy are probably Hibs, and they battered them 3-0 in their own place on Saturday.
It's incredible, almost the kind of the turnaround in fortunes for Livy this season. I remember when we had Livy Cal as a dubbed him when he was on with us. We were talking about what would be a realistic kind of ambition for Livi this season going forward after Holt had obviously stepped down. And I almost kind of went to say top half, but didn't quite follow through with it because I wasn't sure if it was being a wee bit outlandish. But, I mean, sixth place would probably be the least of what they would be expecting, given the kind of run of form since Martindale obviously took over full-time. And as you say, they've got the chance to get to a final and some silverware. So see, the other thing as well is Brandon as well, the Hamilton fan who came on and spoke to us. Yep. His team's season has taken an upturn in fortune as well. So
coming next week, Celtic podcast expert.
So if your team needs an upturn in fortune, then come and speak to the bus ball lads. But no, all seriousness, all credit to Livi and all credit to Martindale. I think what I quite liked about his interview after the game at the weekend was him talking about how they just went and executed their game plan to a T. He was saying they knew that Hibs were going to give them space in behind, and I guess just to have the kind of the confidence in your players and the game plan to just go and execute it as well as they did. And as you say, 3-0 was the least they deserved. So, yep, all credit to them. And I'm looking forward to that doubleheader they've got against Celtic.
Maybe the next set of supporters that want to put someone forward to come and bust ball will be Motherwell, because let's just say they are struggling badly at the moment. There's a bit of a kind of grey area about Motherwell at the moment because they've had those points taken back off them, haven't they? Was it 6 points? So right, yeah. They're kind of lurking in the position of 11th at the moment. They're levelling points with Ross County on 17 points, although they do have a couple of games in hand. But as the league table sits at the moment, Hamilton are ahead of them, and Hamilton absolutely battered them in the Lanarkshire Derby on Saturday. 3-0 that one finished to the Ackies, so well done to Brandon and his men. But in terms of Motherwell, they've not got a permanent manager at the moment. The latest is that they're hoping to announce their new boss in the next 48 hours. Have you guys heard the names involved? Because there's some kind of interesting ones, I thought.
Keith Larsley's one of them that'll be getting interviewed.
Yeah, he's the dull name.
Tommy Wright's the other one. Another dull name, yeah. I don't know who else is getting linked to that, but I'm sure you're ready to tell us.
Right, Graham Alexander is the bookie's favourite. Last seen at Salford.
He's still Salford, yeah, Salford, yeah.
Nah, I think he's left there. Well, I doubt Motherwell are going to pay compensation to Gary Neville and his brother, but he was last seen at Salford. We've got Fleetwood Town, that's where he was in the past. By the way, Fleetwood Town, I noticed, have sacked Joey Barton, so Joey Barton return to Scottish football? Is he going to unfinish business with the Scottish League? That would be box office.
Motherwell relegated, I think.
Or the weird shout that's also in the running. I don't know. The chat is that Motherwell are interviewing 4 people on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're going to announce it shortly afterwards. And the hope is that they'll be in charge for their game in Paisley on Saturday. But the final name, and I don't know if he's one of the people interviewed or if it's just a name thrown out there, is Simon Grayson.
Oh, wow.
God.
Is that the guy who was at Sunderland?
Yeah.
Leeds, Sunderland as well, I think. Yeah. But he might even have been in Sunderland Till I Die, wasn't he?
He was. I think he was the guy
who was so uninspiring.
I was. He seemed like a kind of nice guy as well, but it was just one of the managers that you're like, you've not got it.
Who are we thinking then from that, or do you guys want to throw in any other ambitious names? I've heard Joey Barton. Is there any other box office names for Motherwell?
Struggling here.
Tommy Wright would be a safe pair of hands, but are they going to go for that? I can't really remember. Stephen Robinson was a safe pair of hands after, I think, Mark McGee left. I wonder if it's going to be Keith Lasley, even though their form hasn't been particularly great in recent weeks. I just wonder if they'll think that he knows the players and all that kind of stuff. They've actually not won since beating Livingston at Ammanvale all the way back on Halloween, actually. So that's 10 games.
Last game, wasn't it, actually? Was that the one when one of them? Maybe that was St. Martin, actually, but a while ago,
10 games. They've drawn 3 of them and they've lost 7. They've not scored. They've only scored 1 goal, in the last 4 games. So Stephen Robinson, has left. I suppose Matt Heat, he leaves us, despite how things ended, as quite a good Motherwell manager. You know, third place finish last season, couple of cup finals.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that first season that you touched on there, well, it wasn't his first season, was it? I mean, if you think as well, I think he would have taken over from Barraclough. I mean, if you think of where they were compared to kind of where he got them to their peak of their powers, if you like, in 17-18 season, I think he does deserve a lot of credit. You know, they've managed to bring in some really good players. If you think of even like Jake Hasty, David Turnbull, obviously now Declan Gallagher, there's a real kind of, he's managed to work within his means at Motherwell, and I think that particular season will resonate with Motherwell for that the season they made both cup finals. Certainly they trounced my Aberdeen team twice. I had to watch them at Hampden twice, Fir Park and then Hampden. So put together a good team, but then with a lot of the kind of smaller clubs, if you like, it's very hard to kind of keep that up. And you know, you'll have one really good season and then just kind of the next season, I think, was pretty difficult for them. So, but a lot of good memories for Motherwell fans. I'm sure they don't harbour much hate towards him. And it's going to be interesting to see how they go going forward.
Yeah, they brought in a fair bit of money as well from signings. You touched on a couple of them there. Obviously, Turnbull's the main one. What was that, 3 million odd? They sold the boy, James Scott, down to Hull. I think that was, that upwards of 1 million? They sold Keepre to Wigan, I want to say. I think that was around the seven-figure mark as well. So, and obviously, you've got players like Alan Campbell. I know he's got a funny contract situation, but I think in a normal world, he would go for probably seven figures as well. Jake Hasty, I think, was an end-of-contract thing. But they've produced a lot of good players. Declan Gallagher, Scotland international. So, yeah, he's a good manager. But it'll be interesting to see who Motherwell get in. You just want it to be a different name, don't you? As much as Tommy Wright would be a safe pair of hands and Keith Lasley would as well, you want it to be like a Graham Alexander or even a Simon Grayson.
Oh, it Burrows.
They're tipping him. He's had every job there. He'd be as well just be manager, is he? It's interesting that that's what you just touched on there, though, Hamish. It's like if you look at down in England, right, like big Sam Allardyce has got a job again. Like it's this kind of like there's so many men names out there that just get linked with these jobs again. They always end up getting it. I remember Billy Davis was one that just always get linked to every job up here, despite never, you know, managing again up here, you know. So there's a lot of kind of names that get floated about with these players, these clubs, you know, whether it's club legends or anything like that. And they just need to be smart with their decision. But they obviously are difficult, and I think it's probably going to be a Tommy Wright or I can't imagine Keith Lasley's going to get it, but I think it's just going to be something pretty boring, to be honest.
I think the thing is, just for them this season, and probably just because of where we are just now, and I know there's still the kind of ambiguity with those games that they were given the points and it's been taken away, it's like they do just need a safe pair of hands to stave off this season turning into a real disaster for them, because the table doesn't make for very good reading at all. So is that going to play into kind of how much of a chance they take on the next manager? Whereas you would expect a kind of Tommy Wright, I know it's not the most exotic of names, if you like, but you would imagine him to come in and steady the ship and do enough to get, as I say, stave off a total disaster of a season for Motherwell. So I think that will play into who we see get unveiled as our next manager.
Right, final bit of Motherwell news. Jordan Archer, the goalkeeper, has left the club, going to Middlesbrough. However, it does seem like they're going to bring in Liam Kelly on loan from QPR. Liam Kelly, obviously the goalkeeper for Livingston not too long ago, a pretty good goalkeeper as well. I think he's maybe been in the odd Scotland squad in the past as well. It hasn't really worked for him down in London, but coming back on loan to Motherwell, for me, that looks like a really good signing. I was actually, you know, tipping Celtic to make a move for Liam Kelly summer before last. So that's a good one. Right, Matt, I'll give you a minute to chat about Aberdeen. How are you feeling? Because you're still in the box seat for third place, but fair to say you're not really capitalising on Hibs, who just seem to be in complete, you know, collapse right now.
Yeah, it's gone a bit meh is what I would describe it as. Again, it reminds me of what it was like at this kind of start of the season when, you know, the Rangers game just didn't really have anything to it, no end product, with a lot of injuries, a lot of obviously the COVID and all that at the start. But then it got really good and we looked like we found an identity, and it's just kind of gone back to kind of how it was. Like, no real end product, crossing into the box has been appalling. Like, Matty Kennedy can't cross a ball to save his life this season, it seems. Not really getting anything out of set pieces, not even getting anything out of big Sam Cosgrove, who's normally pretty steady up front. I think Scott Wright coming back into the team this week will help things going forward. Him and Hedges had a good partnership, so we just need to see how that goes. I'm not holding out too much hope for Saturday, but I think I still think we're a better team than Hibs, and I think if we could just kind of keep picking up points and just kind of going along with business, it'll be fine. But really, what is fine? You know, because Aberdeen fans are pretty vocal about their distaste towards Dec McInnes these days. So I'm not holding out much hope for the season at the moment, but third place is, if you've got that, it's fine.
There we go. Matt Finlay not holding out much hope for Saturday, which is handy, Matt, because the game is actually on Sunday. So
there you go then.
let's hope that Aberdeen can get a result on Sunday from my point of view. Right, questions to finish off. Scott Burns has been in touch asking us about Aki's return to form. Will they beat the drop under Big Hoose Rice? Scott, if you're a regular listener, Burst Ball, you'll know that the official position we like to take with regards to Hamilton Aki's is that they will never, ever be relegated. However, saying all that, they are still my tip to finish bottom. Just to get your two's opinions, Craig, just in one or maybe two words, if it's a team from Perth or Dingwall, who's going to finish bottom?
Ross County.
Matt?
I think it will be...
Two words, Matt!
St Mirren.
St Mirren?
I think St Mirren. Genuinely.
St Mirren, who currently sit in seventh, five points ahead of Ross County, and I've got three games in hand, although I suppose they could be given as defeats.
Yeah. So I don't know. I panicked. I'm still saying St Mirren.
At least you're honest.
I said them at the start of the season, so I'm still going St Mirren.
Right. Okay. Scott, get in touch on Twitter and let us know who you're tipping, mate. Is it going to be Aki's? I'm trying to work out who you support. I can't quite... Oh, he's a Hamilton Aki's fan, so it's probably not going to be Aki's then, but that would explain the question on Aki's. Ibrox Standard's been in touch. Sounds like someone you'd get along with, Craig, asking us, will the SFA be citing Edward for his tackle on the Dundee United player? It was in press last week. It went strangely quiet. I genuinely don't remember this, and that's not me playing, you know, Arsene Wenger here. Does anyone else remember this?
I do remember it. Nah, it's not. It's one of those ones that if you slow it down enough and you watch it over and over again, you can convince yourself it's a horror tackle. He leaves it, the boots a bit late. That's all it is.
Right. Jordan McMenemy, with the reports of Dermot giving Lennon the job till at least the summer, do we see a change in the summer? And if so, who is a realistic replacement that would come in? Oh, God, we'll maybe save that for the next podcast day. I'm kind of done about talking about Celtic for now, but it does seem like Neil Lennon's going to be in charge for the rest of the season. I think that's us, guys. Just, again, very briefly, any New Year's resolutions you guys want to tell the whole nation about, Craig?
No New Year's resolutions as such, Hamish, but I've bought a dartboard after getting carried away with the World Championships fever there, so... I'll make a resolution right now. I was about to take it too far there, but I'm going to be taking up darts from my spare room / home office. So a new skill, hopefully, by the end of the year.
Matt, any New Year's resolutions?
Keep up the fitness in the gym. We've got the home gym set up in the garage, so to see if that goes beyond an extra month. We'll see where we're going.
I think I'm going to try and find something different to do in my Saturday afternoons. That's going to be my New Year's resolution going forward. Right, guys, it's been a pleasure. You've been part of the first podcast of 2021. Hopefully many more to come this year. Thank you very much for listening to this show. Remember, we are on Twitter at BurstBallPodcast. Remember, the DMs are open if anyone ever wants to chat about anything. And we'll speak to you soon.